Coming up on this episode of DL Weekly, the Super Bowl celebration came to the resort, new eats at one of our favorite locations,
a new souvenir for guests who want to be cast members, Easter is coming, we finish our chat with Christopher, and more. DL Weekly starts now.
Hello, everyone. Welcome aboard the DL Weekly podcast. Please lower your head and watch your step while boarding. If this is your first time listening, we hope you'll check out our website at dlweekly.net. If you have more time to spend, becoming an official weekly tier at dlweekly.net/support is an especially good value. Thanks for traveling with us today, and we hope you have a happy and memorable listen to this week's episode.
Well, hello and welcome to this episode of DL Weekly for the week of February 14th, 2024. I'm Teg Bushman.
And I'm Teresa Urban. We would like to thank everyone who supports this show, including a special shout out to Andrea M., Grace W., Eric C., and Ashley C. If you would like to help support the show to make sure that we can keep bringing you the latest news and information, discussion, and interviews about Disneyland, head on over to dlweekly.net/support.
Now let's get to the news. The biggest sporting event of the year in the United States took place this past weekend, and as is tradition, the winning team visited a Disney resort. This year, the Kansas City Chiefs quarterback Patrick Mahomes and his family came to Disneyland to celebrate. He took some photos with his family in Toontown, took part in the Super Bowl cavalcade on Monday, and just generally hung around the park.
Enjoyed the park. We've got to look this up because the Kansas City Chiefs won the Super Bowl this year, of course, but they also won the Super Bowl last year, and last year Patrick was at Disneyland, so the same person got to say I'm going to Disneyland 2 years in a row. Has that happened before? Like, come on, how cool?
I don't know, let's look. Super Bowl like in a row, you're saying?
Yeah. So and the fact that it was on the same coast, so it was Disneyland both times. So it wasn't like Disneyland and then Disney World.
Oh yeah, because
isn't that wild?
Yeah, because they did it in Arizona. Mm-hmm. Oh, interesting. And then also way back in 2020, was he also on the team in 2020? But they went to Disney World
because that was Florida. Those would have been Florida, yeah.
Yeah. Huh, interesting. Like, I guess I didn't think about this before. I didn't think that they went to whatever one they're closest to. I literally thought it was just kind of like a back and forth thing. You know, the cavalcade looked like fun. Mahomes, I have to say, that game went on for quite a while, and I have to say that look at that. He got to say it, well, Disneyland twice and Disney World once. Crazy. But I have to say that I was surprised. I'm always surprised when they have these folks go the very next day, because you got to think that they've got to be exhausted from all of the effort they put out the day before. And plus, just think about all the like stress. I'm sure they didn't sleep much the night before. Well, so,
and
crazy.
According to like social media, right, there was all sorts of videos and photos of them at like an after party, and it was at, you know, the Super Bowl was in Vegas, so I'm sure they went to bed at a reasonable time celebrating in Vegas.
So, at least they were close to Disneyland. Yeah,
that's true. At least it was a short flight or a short drive. I'm sure they flew a short flight to get to Disneyland, and the parade wasn't until the afternoon. So hopefully he was able to get some rest in before enjoying Disneyland for the day with his family. Well, the cavalcade in Disneyland wasn't the only celebration happening for the Super Bowl. In downtown Disney, Snickers, yes, the candy bar, hosted a celebration at the live stage. There were photo ops, games, music, and you could get a free Snickers bar.
Well, this is kind of cool. I like the idea that they had some basically like some lawn games and stuff like that. They had some music. It looks like they had like a little cornhole thing, like a little tic-tac-toe. Of course, getting some free sticker. I don't know. I think this is kind of cool.
Plus, did you catch where it was happening? One of our new favorite spaces downtown Disney, the brand new stage and lawn area at the far end of Disneyland in the newly, I don't know, newly opened space. So, I mean, come on. I love seeing this stuff because really before, they just had the little section between Tortilla Joe's and, Splitsville?
Mm-hmm.
That's now become the alley. That was the only, like, open space that they could do special event type things like this. So, more possibilities with more green space.
Yeah. And, of course, this will be even bigger later on when they finally get some more of those things built together so you can use more of that space. Yeah. So,
very
awesome.
Cool.
Well, there hasn't been much to see about how the interior of Tiana's Bayou Adventure is coming along, but the Disney Parks blog did give us kind of a glimpse. A new audio animatronic was shown off in the post as part of a TikTok video. The Tiana animatronic looks amazing in her new outfit and provides just a glimpse of what is coming for the attraction, debuting, they confirmed, later this year at Walt Disney World and Disneyland.
This was incredible. I seriously, the first time I opened the saw a photo of this and opened the Disney Parks blog article. When you look at the animatronic, just a photo of the animatronic, you would think it was concept art, or you would think it looks like artwork. It looks like it's hand drawn. It looks like it just stepped down out of the animated movie. But then you realize the next photo next to it is an Imagineer working on it. So you realize, oh, no, this is real. This isn't the concept art. This isn't just what they're thinking. And watching the video, fluid, beautiful movements on this animatronic.
Did you notice her eyes move a lot?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
And you know me, I'm just excited that it's a physical face and not a projected face.
Sure.
They were doing that for a while, and I am not personally a fan of the looks of that. So yeah, this makes me oodles more excited for the attraction.
Sherita Carter, wasn't she the one that was on stage when they announced this at D23? I feel like she was up there with some of the people.
She would have been.
So I don't know. She looks very excited to talk about this. I'm always a fan.
You mean the last D20? Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, she was. The one that we were at recently. Yeah.
So I was just really happy to see that they're doing some really great work on the new animatronics and that it looks so good. And they kind of just finally steered away from that projected face kind of thing going on. Because I think this is just going to be awesome. Now, if this is the type of animatronics that are to come for this attraction, I am here for it.
It's just, I mean, seriously, it looks like she just stepped down out of the movie screen. Like, it's amazing to see, like, animation in, in real life, I guess would be a good way of saying it. It's incredible. And the details on her outfit, beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
One of our favorite eateries in Downtown Disney, of course I'm talking about the Earl of Sandwich, has some new limited time treats. For only a few days, guests could get a red velvet cake sandwich, which featured two red velvet cake rounds, a layer of cream cheese frosting, and topped with heart sprinkles, of course, in celebration of Valentine's Day. One item that is still on the menu for a limited time is the Earl's pastrami sandwich.
So I'm sad that we talked about this so late that it's like done, because it's only through Valentine's Day. So if you're listening to this the day it drops and you're going today,
get down to Earl of Sandwich.
You can get this. But I will say the other one, they don't have a lot of information of what's on the Earl's pastrami from what I can tell from this article, but it looks really good. It looks like it's got some type of, I assume, like a provolone cheese.
Yeah, looks like kraut.
I'm a big fan of pastrami. Are you a pastrami fan?
That is a piled high pastrami sandwich as well. Pastrami is not my thing. So go right on ahead. You have your helping and my helping of the pastrami.
Sure.
I'm going to stick with my caprese sandwich that I get there that I love so much.
I mean, I really like my Italian or whatever that I get there is also very good. Well, move over Valentine's Day. I mean, it's going to be basically over by the time you hear this probably anyway. Well, Easter merch is already making a move into the resort. A new Donald Duck Easter egg sipper will be coming to Disneyland on February 15th for $24.99. The sipper features Donald Duck dressed as an Easter egg holding a carrot and a bag of eggs.
I can't with this one. It's so cute. We all thought that Donald as a candy corn was adorable, and then we got Donald, I think, as a holiday tree. And
why now is we've Donald got always Donald the things?
Now we've, because it's, I don't know, it's adorable though. Now we've got Donald as an Easter egg. It's
wearing bunny ears, I just realized.
Yep, and he's wearing bunny ears. He's got his little basket of eggs as he's dressed up as an egg. It's cute. It's so cute. This is going to be popular for sure. You can add it to your Donald collection.
I don't really have a Donald collection.
No, I mean, like, not you specifically.
Oh, sure. What do you think about Donald? Like, where does he fall on your Fab 5?
I love Donald.
Yeah, but like, of the Fab, six now, right? Like, where does Donald fall in the top six characters?
Oh, don't make me choose, Tag. Don't make me choose.
Because I assume that, like, Mickey or Minnie would be at the top for you. No?
They kind of are all at the top, because I love Chip and Dale.
Oh, goodness.
I love Goofy. I love Donald and Daisy.
So on the hub crawl, we asked a question that said, if you could be a Disney character, what character would you be?
This is why I'm not on the hub crawl. I'm terrible at answering questions like this.
Well, this might be a good question for you, but I asked, if you could be a Disney character, if you could be the character, which character would be and why? Two of the people picked Goofy.
Like you could be friends with the character?
No, like
that was your personality.
Like, no, like, you are Goofy.
Oh.
So if you could be that Disney character, like, not friend or what, like, literally you embody, you are that character. And the reason they said Goofy was because no matter what's going wrong, he seems oblivious to it, and he has a great attitude at the end. Mm-hmm. And I was like, wow. My answer
making other people laugh
was the fairy godmother, because she can sing, she does magic, she can do all types of cool things.
Oh, the fairy
she kinda does
from,
it all.
From Cinderella.
Yeah. She's awesome. So if you could be a Disney character.
I don't know. There's too many good ones to try and pick through.
That is a non-committal
answer.
That's
what I'm saying.
You should run for office, Teresa.
This is why I am not on the hub crawl, because I do terrible with these questions, because I overthink, because there's too many good answers. I could be one asking the questions, just not answering the questions. I could comment on other people's answers.
You just need the commentator. So yeah, you're not like, I'm not here to answer things. I'm just here to judge your stuff.
Just here to comment. Well, for weekly tiers who have always wanted a Disneyland name tag of their own, there is a new merchandise item that can help scratch the itch. New honorary cast member inspired pins are available at World of Disney and the Emporium. There are currently three variations: honorary princess, honorary pirate, and of course my favorite, honorary ghoul.
These are fun.
I want a ghoul.
Well,
so bad.
Well, you'll have to get one when you go. Mm-hmm. You know, I remember a time, I was telling Chase this earlier, I remember for the 50th anniversary, you could get a name tag that looked like the Disney name tags. It was gold for the 50th anniversary. They would engrave your name in it, just like the cast members' names are engraved. And so this is the closest thing I think we're going to get now.
Did you do that?
I did. I actually had a couple of them, because one of them, I got to find it at home, but one of them actually was in a box or something, and it has a little Mickey that was cut out the top, and it snapped part of the Mickey off. Oh. But I still have one that's intact. I just have to, I think it's in my box that I put some of the smaller things in.
So for those of you wondering what these look like, the honorary princess pin, of course, has a pink background. It's got a crown on top. And then, like, on the honorary font is the same on all three pins, but princess is kind of a Renaissance kind of style, medieval flair font to it. And it says, a dream is a wish your heart makes on the bottom, where, like, on a cast member one, it would say happiest. The new one says the happiest place on earth. The honorary ghoul is black, and it's got green, like, accents. There's a bat. Kind of stylized bat on top.
It's the in the queue, the
yeah, but it looks a little different. It's not quite as wide. And then it's saying, of course, is welcome foolish mortals. And then finally for the pirate one, it's red with kind of a tan, I guess would be the
like
color,
the text. And
it's got the pirate's font for pirate. It's of course got the Jolly Roger symbol at the top, the skull with the cross swords, and its little saying is "Dead men tell no tales."
Of course, it says "Dead men tell no tales." These are fun.
Realize the only one that has multiple colors is the honorary ghoul.
Well, that's because it's the best,
special.
Right?
It's because it's special.
Well, it's that time again. We are hosting our public live stream this Sunday. Join us over on our YouTube channel. That's youtube.com/DLweekly at 5:30 p.m. Disneyland time. This time, what are we talking about, Teresa? Do we have something already planned?
I've got a fun special announcement for everyone that we'll be talking about this weekend. Otherwise, it's just kind of an open forum.
I feel like I'm also going to have to find out what the special announcement is, because I don't know what she's talking about.
You know.
Okay.
You know.
Okay. Do I know?
You do.
I don't know in the moment.
You do.
Anyway, youtube.com/DLweekly, 5:30 p.m. Disney time. If you are a supporter online and you're at the cast member level or above, we also are having our monthly hangout where we get on a Zoom call together, and that is happening at 4 p.m. Disneyland time. So the link will be emailed to you through Patreon, and it'll also be posted in our members' Discord. So if you want to catch that as well, we always love talking to people more one-on-one.
Yoo-hoo! Hello, everybody! It's me, Heimlich! Mein stomach is so empty! Hey, help me to go find something to eat! Come on, everybody! Here we go!
Well, this week in Snack Chat, we are spending a little bit more time on Main Street. However, this time we're a little further up Main Street, getting closer to the hub, and we're making a stop at the Refreshment Corner. A lot of people still call it Coke Corner. It is a corner
building. I still
thought
it was Coke Corner, yeah.
That is, it's hosted by Coca-Cola.
Gotcha.
This is where one of our listeners gets all of their crazy, wild Coke-themed questions from, because there is a little mini, like, Coca-Cola museum in the front.
And we do
in
terrible.
The windows. There's a ton of stuff in that, and it's not Disney-related at all. It's all, you know, Coke-specific. I always assumed, this is just me, that it was, like, Coke and Disney's relationship over the years and like a museum of that stuff. No, this is just like cool Coca-Cola stuff. So anyways, more about the actual restaurant itself. So the Refreshment Corner is open for mainly lunch and dinner, and it's kind of a quick service stop. So you go in, you order at the counter or you mobile order. There isn't actual like seating inside. It's not table service.
There's plenty of outside seating though.
They're not coming over and, you know, getting your order at your table. So it's a quick dining location, really focusing, I think, for quite a while, just more recently it's shifted a little, but the main focus and the thing I always thought about with the Refreshment Corner was hot dogs.
Yes, me too. It's definitely a place to get good hot dogs. Some of the hot dog things that they have at the moment is they have a beef, all beef hot dog basket, which you can get with an orange to be, a mandarin orange to be kind of a little bit more healthy, but you can also get a small bag of chips. You can get a chili cheese dog basket, which is what I've gotten the last few times. There's a mac and cheese dog basket as well. And was it that? Where did I have that? I feel like, I don't know if it was at this, if it was at the Refreshment Corner or not, but I did have something with mac and cheese in a chili dog kind of situation. It was really good. They also have, oh, that's what it was. It was the mac and cheese chili in a sourdough bread bowl.
Yep.
That's what I had. It was very good. They also serve chili and a couple different bread bowls, mac and cheese with chili. Of course, you can get things like Mickey pretzels.
Yeah, so you can, it's a, so not just like a hot dog place, there's also snacks there, Mickey pretzels and more. Recently, well, at least it's more recently become popular, are the cream cheese pretzels. You can find cream cheese filled pretzels there. They have just a regular one as well as a jalapeno cheese filled pretzel.
And of course, there's all the different beverages you can get there. They have some fountain beverages, water, coffee, that kind of stuff. They have a sippers that you can get there right now as we record this. There's a Princess Aurora sipper and a Princess Belle sipper that's available. There's also a Disneyland travel tumbler and a Play in the Park thermo tumbler that you can get right now. So lots of different options there. They also have some gluten and wheat allergy friendly things as well.
Do you know what is coming there?
What?
Oh, that Donald Duck sipper egg
will
be available there starting on February 15th. But that's another really cool thing about this location at Refreshment Corner. They get a ton of the seasonal, like sippers and sippers, not so much popcorn buckets, sippers, but a lot of the seasonal food offerings as well. So currently there's a pepperoni Mickey shaped pretzel. There's a chili cheese potato dog. Yeah, that's right. Chili cheese potato dog. So it's basically a baked potato that kind of acts as almost the bun
for
a hot dog topped with
chili. That sounds like a heart attack.
And then there's also a Wish Star Sipper as well as a Lotus Flower Glow Cube.
You know, I feel like they're keeping the Wish Star Sipper around because it was taunting me when I was there last.
They just know. They just
and they're
know
keeping
that
it,
you're waiting.
They're
you're
keeping
waiting
it. I'm trying to look up here.
Well, while you do that, the one also very cool thing that I want to talk about, too, is pricing here. We're looking at Disneyland.Disney.go's website. So according to Disney, meal pricing is $14.99 and under per adult. So this is a very affordable, not going to break the bank place to stop and get food. And honestly, it's tasty.
I've also not had any time. Like, I feel like they're really quick.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I feel like you're not waiting a long time for any of the stuff, in addition to the fact that it's priced well.
Yeah. I'm more of a corn dog girl myself, so I usually
go across the street.
You enjoy the hot dog, so you will stop and get a hot dog. I'll go across the street to the little red wagon and wait in line to get a corn dog over there. But my favorite thing about this dining location that doesn't have anything to do with food necessarily is the ragtime piano player that they have playing either
yes.
inside the lobby or just outside in the open air seating. Amazing. I could sit there and watch the piano players there for hours. I could just hang out on Main Street between the piano player, the Dapper Dans, the band. I mean, there's so much cool entertainment. But yeah, the ragtime piano player is specific to this location. It's super cool. Very Disney.
You know, I was just looking here because I like to sometimes look at the Disneyland Encyclopedia, and it happens to be sitting right in front of us.
Yeah.
So the article here about the Refreshment Corner, a.k.a. Coke Corner, a.k.a. Coca-Cola Refreshment Corner, was that the basic menu initially listed just sodas.
Oh.
And was supplemented later by hot dogs, chili, Mickey Mouse shaped pretzels, and other snacks.
It's very like American, I guess. I don't know what to call it. Like, it's very like classic, the menu that's there.
Oh yeah. So the other thing that I think we can't not talk about that they list here also is that at the doorway of the Refreshment Corner, the light bulbs alternate colors, but the one in the middle is half red, half white to keep the color scheme consistent. And of course, this created quite a bit of hubbub about a year and a half ago when, for like the one day that it wasn't painted.
Because they had to swap that light bulb out.
The internet went crazy thinking, look at the quality of Disney going down. But nope, it came back.
Have no fear.
Have no fear.
And half red and white light bulb is still there.
But I'll tell you that what's really great about this location is, obviously, like you said earlier, the piano player there is really amazing. It's also just kind of a nice spot. If you end up finding a seat that's closer to the street, it's not a bad place to watch the parade kind of by, or the band, or the Dapper Dans, people watch. It seems like a really nice location. Because it's kind of like around the corner a little bit, I feel like when everybody's making the mad dash into the park, that it's kind of also kind of a quieter area.
It is, yeah. It's kind of got a little bubble around it.
Yeah. And of course, it's next to one of our other locations that we'll talk about at some other point, Jolly Holiday.
Mm-hmm.
So now I want all of the stuff from Refreshment Corner, Teresa.
I'm curious about this pepperoni Mickey-shaped pretzel that we talked about it a couple of weeks back, and we heard it sounds like it's really good.
Now, before we leave snack chat, I feel like I have to talk about something that I saw on the internet, and I posted on our Discord.
You're late to this game, sir. I didn't want to burst your bubble.
I had not seen this before. Wait. Fine. Teresa says that we might have talked about this. I do not remember. But so there is the garlic. What is it? The pretzel?
So it's the cheesy garlic pretzel bread that you can get either from Maurice's Treats or Edelweiss Snacks.
Yeah.
And I mean, this first came out not long after they introduced that new food item, the cheesy pretzel garlic.
Because we love it. We've talked about it on the show.
But the hack, though, is that you mash it up with another favorite of ours.
We love the Bengal barbecue skewers. Mm-hmm. You can put a Bengal barbecue skewer inside of it.
My brain, I
saw this, and I know it might have been around, but it was new to me. And I saw it, and my brain imploded. Like, I could not understand. Like, I was like, oh my God, these are two wonderful things. How is this? And then one of our community managers also posted a photo that she did this on her trip a few days or a few weeks ago or whatever. And I was like, how did I not remember this? Anyway, whether we talked about
it
previously or not, we've got to try this.
It's on our list to try.
Now I'm thinking, like, what other cool mashups could you do? Like, what other treats are out there that maybe you could,
you know what might be good?
What if you had in fact, they've probably already done this, and you're going to laugh at me because that's what you do. What if you had a Dole Whip with a churro in it?
Ooh, pineapple and cinnamon?
I don't know. It was just two other treats I was thinking.
See, I was just thinking about the new cookies that they have at Harbor Galley.
Okay.
And
doing the warm cookies?
Yeah, doing something with the warm cookies, but I don't know.
What would you do with them?
Well, you could get ice cream from Gibson Girl. It would be like the most easiest answer. I was thinking about that. Like, you could do something with those. That's another thing I want to try. Those cookies, since we're still in snack chat, are like the next big thing. I've been seeing that there are lines for these cookies. They are selling out of these cookies daily because they are that good and that popular. But they're these fresh made chocolate chip cookies. You can get them in either a 6-pack or a 12-pack. And people are just going like crazy for them. So some people rope drop pirates, some people rope drop Haunted Mansion, some people rope drop Indiana Jones. However, I think people are going to be rope dropping.
This just seems like a weird, it's just a warm cookie. You can make them at home.
Yeah, I don't know.
Hmm.
It's Disney magic, Tag. Disney, we're going to have to try them for ourselves and then we'll know.
Speaking of yummy good stuff, If you want to support the show as a one-time payment, you can buy us a churro. Ooh. Head on over to dlweekly.net/churro to support us with a churro. Thank you to all of our listeners who have supported the show in any way possible.
Your attention, please. DL Weekly Trivia is now leaving for a Grand Circle tour of the Magic Kingdom. With stops at New Orleans Square, Mickey's Toontown, and Tomorrowland. All weekly tiers board.
Welcome to Trivia Land, where we've got some great listener-submitted questions ready for you. But the real question is, are you ready for these questions?
We will see.
I hope so. I'm going to be optimistic, and I'm sure you're going to crush my dreams, but I'm going to be optimistic.
It's not me crushing your dreams. It's these wonderful questions from our listeners.
But you read them, so you are the messenger, and so you get shot.
Oh, okay. And I choose them, too, and verify them.
See?
And do all the wonderful things.
So you are just as much a part of it.
All right. Well, then, let's get started. Your first listener-submitted question from listener Heather G. How many bathrooms are there in Disneyland parks?
Oh, my goodness. Wait a minute. Just in Disneyland, or are you talking DCA, too?
The actual question is Disneyland Park, so I will accept any answer, be it Disneyland, DCA, or Disneyland Resort, or all of the above.
Okay, so let's take a tour of Disneyland. There are two different restrooms that I can think of in Town Square area.
Yep, there's one by the bank, and there's one by City Hall.
And then you go a little bit further up, there's one by the Carnation Cafe.
Yep.
And then you go, we're going to go to Adventureland first.
Tiki Room.
The Tiki Room.
Hang on. Adventureland bathrooms. No, you're supposed to be counting.
No, I was listing.
I'm just going to do a little hash.
So we've got three on Main Street.
Okay, hold on. One, two, three. Okay.
We've got the Tiki Room. We've got the Adventureland. And then there's the one back behind Pirates.
Yep.
Do we count? Like, that there's bathrooms in Club 33?
Are we counting bathrooms in restaurants?
Oh.
Like Club 33, like Carthay, like...
And
No, publicly accessible.
Okay.
Okay.
So, there's one... So you got the Pirates one.
There's one over...
Hungry Bear.
Hungry Bear. There's one in... There's two in Galaxy's Edge.
There's two in Galaxy... Yep. And then let's go to...
Rancho.
Back of the park.
Hold on, Rancho. I'm thinking Frontierland.
Oh, yeah,
Frontierland.
The one next to Rancho, yep. And then we're going to go Toontown.
No,
we've got
Fantasyland.
I was going to go back and work forward. So we've got one
in Toontown.
Okay. They've got the Fantasyland Theater.
Yep.
And then we're going to go Fantasyland.
The one by the Casey Jr.
Yeah,
and
Pinocchio.
The pickle cart and everything.
Yep, they're like Pinocchio themed.
Okay.
And then if we go over
Alice.
To... Alice. And then Tomorrowland, there's the ones back
by
in the back.
By the Autopia.
Yep. And then there's one over by the behind
Plaza
the Plaza
Inn.
11.
Why do I feel like... Oh, isn't there a bathroom on Tom Sawyer Island?
I don't know. I've never used it.
I think there's one bathroom on
there
Tom Sawyer Island.
There might be. I've never used it, though. So
I'm pretty
I can't
sure
tell you from personal experience.
I'm pretty sure there's one on Tom
that
Sawyer Island.
That would make sense.
Is that everything for Disneyland?
I believe so.
Okay, let's really test. DCA.
Oh, boy. Okay.
So
DCA. One is you walk in on the right.
Okay. On Buena Vista Street.
Mm-hmm. And then...
Let's go down Hollywood Boulevard. There's the ones across from the Ward Wieners.
Yeah.
There's one back in Hollywood Land,
yep,
back
yep,
by
yep,
the whatever.
Yep. Avengers
Campus
has
a bathroom.
One. Radiator Springs Racers has... Or Racers. Why am I saying it's not even Racers? It's Cars Land has
yes.
a bathroom. It's not even by Racers.
There's one... Isn't there one
There's one
in,
on the Wharf.
On the Wharf, yeah.
Well, no. San Francisco, sorry.
Yep.
There's one then back by
Pixar Pier.
Pixar Pier.
By Incredicoaster. There's one over by the Paradise Garden.
Oh, yeah. Paradise
whatever.
Garden Grill area. There's the one that's up by between Little Mermaid and
yep.
Grizzly.
Yep.
And did we get the Airfield one yet?
The Airfield one. Are there really only 10 bathrooms in DCA? Oh, there's the one at the Wine Country Trattoria.
Oh, there. Yeah.
Still, there's only 11.
Hmm. Well, 12. 11 and 12, I think that makes sense.
No, 5, 10, 15,
oh, you're
17.
Right.
17 in Disneyland and 11 in DCA.
So we're going to say there's 28 altogether, unless you count the two big ones in between the parks.
We probably should count those. Because there's one by the... Are you sure there's two by the park? Because there's the one...
There's the one by the lockers. By the
kennels and all of the lockers and stuff on the outside. And then, is there one on DCA side?
I don't remember. No, there's not. There's just guest relations.
Okay. So then in the Esplanade, there's one. Part of me wants to also try to find the... I don't think there's that many in Downtown Disney. Because there's the one... There's the one... I don't even... Is that still over there? The one by the Lego store?
Mm-hmm. I think they're all inside businesses.
Yeah, because I guess the other ones that we've used before are inside the Grand Californian.
Mm-hmm.
So, Vern, Disneyland has 17, DCA has 11, so 28 between the two parks. There's one in the Esplanade and at least one in Downtown Disney. I don't know if you're counting those things.
We're counting just public restrooms that, aren't in...
Restaurants
like
or
a restaurant or a store or a hotel.
Okay. So you said 28 between the parks and...
Two out in the Esplanade and Downtown Disney.
Two. Okay.
Do you see what she's got?
She's got a little R2D2. It's an R2D2.
Goodness. All right. Your second question from listener Chrissy A. How many parking spots are in the Mickey and Friends parking structure?
A lot.
I think I knew this one at one time. I think it's like...
And I do want to make a note. This was very fun to verify. I was able to find the website of the company that built the structure, and I got their number.
Ooh.
Now you're saying the Mickey and Friends structure, not the Pixar Place
Mickey
parking
and
structure.
Friends parking
just,
structure.
Just Mickey and Friends.
Okay, so I think the Pixar Pals parking structure had like 7,000 something spaces.
I wasn't so far off. My original thought was 5,000.
Okay, I don't think you're... I think you're going the wrong direction.
Oh.
Pixar Pals has 75 something. Mickey and Friends, I think, has 10,000.
Oh.
Because when it was built, if I remember correctly, I'll have to verify this at some point, maybe after we get our answer, that when it was built, it was the largest parking structure in the world.
Oh.
Before they built another one that was similar to it in Tokyo, I think, was the whole thing.
Really?
Yeah. And I think it had 10,000 spots, and I think the Pixar Pals had like 7,500 or something.
I like your thinking better than my random gut thought of 5,000. Because really, how many people... Wow. I'm trying to think of how many people...
Well, the capacity is 40,000.
Yeah, I was
going to
say, you got to think of how... But how many people are in a car?
Yeah, but usually it's like...
How many people aren't in a car?
Let's say two people in a car.
Yeah, but then you've got all the people walking.
All right. So, Vern, I think for Mickey and Friends, I'm going to say 10,000.
I'm bumping to 8.
10,000 and 8,000. Final numbers?
Yes.
All right.
I like the fact that you went and found the people who built its website to post about. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, dumb luck, honestly, but I was very excited when I did find it. All right, your third regular round question from listener Ethan K. How many attractions were featured on opening day at Disneyland?
Oh, boy.
I want to say it was like 17, 16, 18?
One of the numbers.
I'm going to say 16. It's a numbers-heavy trivia
day. It is a very numbers-heavy. I got to think about this a minute.
Are you trying to, like, in your head?
Mm-hmm. Trying to think in my head. However, you know what's always hard for me? Tomorrowland. I don't know why, but trying to remember the history of attractions of when things were open in Tomorrowland. And some of the things, like, was that an attraction? Wasn't that an attraction? Because it was, like, the walkthroughs.
Yep. I think opening day, the only thing that I can for sure say was the Autopia.
For Tomorrowland.
Yeah. And then I would say, because Fantasyland, you had all the Fantasyland stuff, but we have to not count Pinocchio because that was with 1983. I want to say like Alice and stuff also came later.
My gut was 13, so I'm going to stick with that.
I know it's in the teens somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And that also depends on how you count, if you count Main Street vehicles and like are those counted together? Like, I don't know. So I said 16, final answer.
And I said 13, final answer.
All right, 16 and 13, final answers. And your fourth and final regular round question from listener Jill M. How many replica skulls are on the Indiana Jones Adventure?
Oh,
You know, we read should know this.
I read this.
Wasn't this in the Behind the Attraction too?
There probably, and I think I saw like a Disney Parks blog or a D20, some Disney article about it too. Oh, it's ridiculous because there's like a wall of skulls. Like as you go back down around, yep, like it's a wall.
I'm going to say.
Plus you have like Bones. He's a fake skull.
I'm going to say. This is tough.
I'm going to say 250.
Oh, you keep going really low.
Closest without going over 10.
I'm
going
to say. I'm going to do like Imagineers do. I'm going to say it's 1,995. Or is it 1955? Nope, 1,995, the year it opened.
There you go.
1,995, final answer?
Yep.
All right.
And Teresa went with 250.
250.
And 250.
The only thing I can think of right now is like the wall of skulls and like a couple other ones. I'm sure there's more in the dark that we don't even know.
We will find out.
We will.
All right. And your bonus question tonight from listener MEP. Tell me the story of the little man of Disneyland.
Oh, his name is Patrick.
I like how it's not even like a trivia question. It's like, tell me the story.
Tell us a story.
This is kind of like, was it last week or 2 weeks ago or something where we had to like sing the pirate song or Haunted
Two
Mansion?
2 weeks ago. Yeah. You had to sing. Yep.
I was just looking. Oh, yep, it is. I can't see it, but I can see my copy, yep, the edge of my copy that Vern gifted me for Christmas a few years back.
From the little man at
his
name?
Yeah, but his name is Patrick, and he...
Patrick what?
He lived on the land that was Disney, so Patrick Mickey, what? Donald, and Goofy... you gotta contribute something to the story, so that's you. Mickey, Donald, and Goofy went and asked Patrick's permission to build Disneyland.
Patrick... Like... Do you know, or are you just, like, you're waiting for me, or do you not know?
I'm pretty sure I know, but I'm also waiting, yeah.
Isn't it like, because we thought it was like an O something, but it's not an O something, because we've had a trivia question like this before. Patrick,
His name's Patrick, pretty sure about that.
Patrick, start with an M?
I don't know. I thought it was O'Leary.
I don't know. I give up. Stumped.
All right. Final answer.
I'm stumped, yes. And Teresa had who?
O'Leary was what I thought. Patrick, yeah. O'Leary.
Teresa should at least get the half a point for having, like, the story.
Okay. All right. Well, listeners, how do you think they did? How did you do listening at home? Stick around until after the discussion topic, and we will all find out together.
This week for our discussion topic, we are continuing our conversation with former Walt Disney World Ambassador Christopher. And this time we're going to talk a little bit about some of his involvement and thoughts and everything about Marceline, which is actually where we met Christopher. So enjoy.
Before we move on from your time as an ambassador, do you have, yes, any sort of like favorite memories or anything that really just stuck out to you from your sounds like an incredible year, so it might be hard to choose, but what are some things that stick out?
There's one of the things that we got to do pretty regularly, pretty frequently, was to celebrate with cast members who were having a milestone recognition. And so, for example, specifically, one that I remember was at the Grand Floridian. They were getting ready to. It was a pre-shift meeting that happened before they opened 1900 Park Fair for dinner. I know they have a breakfast service, but so they're having a meeting, and they have someone who is, you know, she's celebrating 30 years with the company, and they bring in a cake to this meeting, and they invite the ambassadors. And so, you know, we would, you know, two straws or what whoever could cover what. But I specifically remember going to this dear person's celebration for 30 years at the Grand Floridian. It was on a Saturday. And I just remember going there. My mom was in town visiting, so I took my mom with me. And I was like, this won't take long. But like, just to be able to go and talk to people and say, to thank them and say, like, you know, you've been here for 30 years. And you've probably done a lot of different jobs. And so you ask them, you know, tell us what you remember. And so to be able to just kind of like shine that spotlight on them. And I just remember so many hugs and photos and just getting to celebrate the people who truly make the magic, right? Because it's all about the cast. And so anytime that we got to interact with cast members, especially in that kind of a capacity, and there was always cake. There was all like the most amazing cake. So I really had to like limit myself, because I mean, it would not be uncommon for us everywhere we went, like, please have a piece of cake. I'm like, this is the seventh piece of cake I've been offered today. I cannot do it.
Well, you obviously should be going out and smoking, not eating cake.
Eating dessert, right? Yeah. And you should just go, you see these outfits? Yes, these were custom made. Yeah. So
we did pop some buttons. I'm not going to lie. I mean, literally. The buttons had popped off and we had to go back to, yeah. So, again, there are just so many of those examples and retirement parties and things like that. Like, I just always love being able to celebrate the cast. I loved any opportunity. You know, we would sometimes get called if a sick child was coming as part of a wish program or something. And there were times where these kids were so ill that like, you know, they would get into Orlando and they went directly to the hospital. They were just too weak to actually like go through with the trip. And so anytime that happened, like they would, if we found out about it, we would go visit. And so usually it was Mickey and me or Minnie and me or Cinderella.
Yeah.
Depending on who, and it was like fast. It's like, hey, like you get a, back then we had these little two-way pagers, but it was like, hey, we need an ambassador. So the three of us are like, what do you got going on today? What do you got? You know, we would often have, you know, 10 different events in the course of a day all over property. So we're just all over the place and like, okay, like if you cover this, I'll do this, we'll do this. And just going to the hospital and just visiting with the parents of these kids.
Yeah.
And just seeing, you know, a kid who is that ill obviously is not going to be like overjoyed to see Mickey, but just to see a moment of peace and to say like, I work for a company that cares this much that they're willing to, and they don't like, they just have so many amazing resources at their fingertips to be able to make moments like that possible.
Yeah.
And people don't see that. We don't, you know, like, I never took my camera and was like, hey, can I take a picture? You know, but I will never forget that, of being able to bring some comfort to the family or to see the family just having that realization of like, wow, like Mickey Mouse came to visit my child. Yeah. Like, that's really powerful.
That's incredible.
It gets me like choked up. Yeah.
No, that's incredible.
I'm a very emotional person anyway. So I just think like anything that I smiled a lot and I cried a lot with people, yeah, like it beautiful tears. And, you know, I think the being able to celebrate the heart of the company and the goodness, it's just like, that's not something that people tend to focus on in our world. So to be able to bring joy and celebrate that, it's really special.
Well, and like you said, that was not the stuff that was, you know, being broadcast to everyone. But no. I would argue that was more important than, hey, look at this cool, you know, yes, of course, everybody's excited for new rides and celebrations and all that. But that was definitely, you know, more impactful, especially for those individuals. So that's pretty incredible to have been a part of that.
And when you think about the ambassadors who did this job early on, I mean, they were traveling around the world to try to get people to come to Florida. Like it was, they were strumming up business. I was not strumming up business. They didn't need any, they didn't need that. Right. Like they were going to come, but, and many times the way broadcasting works, even back then, all those folks would come to Walt Disney. They would broadcast from the resort. So they would broadcast from the Magic. So they came to us.
Yeah.
We didn't have to go and travel. So I wish I had done more travel, but that wasn't needed because where we were needed was in our community with our cast and doing media that was based there in Florida. There was another, just speaking of media, I got called one time and asked by, it was a channel. I don't think it was the Disney Channel, but it was a channel in Tokyo that aired Disney movies, like a Disney Sunday movie or something. Mm-hmm. And so they were going to air the film Dinosaur. And they were filming these bits with their on-air talent at Disney's Animal Kingdom. And so the on-air talent and the entire crew, like everyone was Japanese. Are you detecting a theme? There's a lot of Japanese, like, misunderstandings with me and Japanese people, because clearly I don't speak Japanese. But they would tell, they would say things like, okay, for your next shot, here is Safari Mickey, and we want you to talk about the various pieces of his costume. And so I'm like, okay, well, here's Safari Mickey, and you can see that he has his safari hat, which keeps the sun out and allows him to see. I mean, this is really weird stuff. And I'm like, this is the strangest thing I've ever done. I don't know what I'm doing. And then several months later, they sent me a DVD of this whole thing. And like, you can kind of see me for a second, but then my voice is dubbed over in Japanese. So very strange experiences. Wow. Like that. I shouldn't say strange, very unique, very yeah. unique experiences. So, I mean, just like, hey, like, if somebody, like, people saw me on TV in Japan on the other side of the world. So look at there that. You go.
That's pretty cool.
I was going to ask
And they
you,
were probably thinking, that guy looks like he's eaten a few desserts. He's not a real man. Question his masculinity.
I was going to ask, I'm not exactly sure, like, is there any specific kind of, like, experience or something that sticks out to you as something that was just like a pinch me moment, like I can't believe that like I'm doing this, and that could be like good or bad, like however you want to take that. And then just like, is there anything in particular just like really stands out, like a specific story you have that really stands out from your time as an ambassador, or any particular people you ran into that you just thought was particularly interesting? Because I feel like obviously you have a wealth of stories. So
oh gosh, one of the most awkward moments that I ever had. I think that's probably one way to answer your question.
Yeah.
We were hosting the Children's Miracle Network Telethon. It was an annual thing that happened. And they brought in these children from, I think there was a representative from each state. So there were radio stations that came in as part of that. And that was hosted by Marie Osmond and John Schneider. And they had a team of people that were friends with them and would come in, and they would do this broadcast for this telethon to raise money. And it was a Sunday morning, and they were hosting this breakfast for all these Wish kids and their families. And I was more just kind of observing, and then I was there to do some radio interviews afterwards. But I was in the back of the room. My manager was there with me that day. I think she had done other work with Children's Miracle Network over the years, so she was just there. More than being my leader, she was there because she had a connection to that event. And John Schneider, Marie Osmond, and of course I knew John Schneider from the Dukes of Hazzard growing up. Like, you know, that was a thing, right? So I'm like, oh, this is cool, like that they're here. And they were on stage and they were announcing that Mickey and the gang were gonna be there. But in the back of the room, we knew that Mickey and the gang were not there. And so like, they're like, and here comes Mickey, and like nothing happens. And so my boss says to me, like, go save them. And so I had not met them. I probably looked like some crazy man, but I just walked on stage and I was like, hi, Marie. Hi, John. We're so happy you're here. Mickey and the gang are on the way. But until they get here, I'm going to tell you about a few of the things that you'll be able to experience that are brand new here at Walt Disney World. And I, like, literally, I promise you, I could feel my legs shaking within my pants. Like, I've never had that feeling before. But just the immense pressure of the hundreds of people looking at you. And no one looking at you more strangely than John Schneider and Marie Osmond. Like, who is this guy? And then
you're just thrown up on stage.
Oh, God, no. Filibustered for a few minutes, and then Mickey and the gang came in, and everyone turned and like screamed, and like I was just kind of like collapsed off to the side of the stage. Like, oh my God, what just happened? So, yeah.
That's awesome.
Again, thankfully, that was a time when people didn't have, you know, when everybody didn't have, you know, a camera on a phone. Like, that was not a thing. So it wasn't like that went viral or anything like that. But that definitely stands out as like one of the strangest experiences ever.
But it sounds like you saved the day, though. Yeah. Great, great job.
I did. And it's funny because I was actually going through, there's so many like mementos and different things that I have from that year. And actually I have an autographed program from that, and John Schneider signed it. Thank you for saving us. So there you go.
That's amazing. That's amazing.
And that was when Christopher was the hero for the night. He was a superhero.
Right.
You were a hero for the night.
And after that, I'll never forget, after that, my boss told me, she's like, that's why you're the ambassador. Like, that's why you got it. 'Cause you can handle that.
Yeah.
I was like,
wow.
You're like, I didn't even know I could handle that. How did
right.
you
clearly you saw things in me that I did not see in myself, but thank you very much.
You're like, I incredible. Handled that. That's what that was. Okay. I'm surprised you didn't just black out and like, don't remember anything about it.
No, it was fun. And then later in the week I recorded a television spot with Mary Lou Retton, which was just really cool because I, you know, child of the '80s, I very familiar with her, and she was really sweet. And just, I mean, I think just the thought of like, okay, Mary Lou, here's the ambassador. And she's like, okay, like you come in and do your thing. So you can't be starstruck. You can't be like, you just have to pull it together. Like, oh yeah, like I am the ambassador. Mm-hmm. You have to kind of like pep talk yourself. So that was a thing. So I'm sure that you all are familiar on Main Street USA at both Disneyland and Walt Disney World, that there is a door that is dedicated to cast members.
Yes. Yeah.
And not uncommon to see people taking photos, whether they've been former cast members or current or future hope to be cast members. I know my kids have gotten their photos taken in front of those doors, but that was part of the 50th celebration as well, the 50th anniversary of Disneyland. So in July of 2005, I hosted the dedication for that door. So I always kind of feel like that's my door in a sense.
Yeah.
So yeah, we all kind of laugh about that and the fact that it's on Main Street, which is where I spent the majority of my career and really cut my teeth in the world of leadership was at the Emporium. So, you know, there are so many, just countless mentors and people who helped me and educated me and believed in me. Kind of like what you said, she believed in you when you didn't believe in yourself. And I think Disney just attracts really compassionate, caring people that help others. And I'm a benefactor of that. And so really why I'm always, I'm grateful for the opportunity to talk to people like you or talk to others and share my story. And I want to inspire people. I want to help people. I want to give them ideas of things they can do, because there were so many people who invested in me and gave me this amazing life that I have. So, yeah,
that's what's so cool and kind of goes into my next question. So back way back, it was episode 156. For those of you that hadn't already listened, highly recommend you listen to that. We talked with Robin, who is a former Disneyland ambassador, and she was talking about how, yeah, you're the ambassador for, you know, whatever the span of time is, a year, 2 years, because it does vary, but yeah. it kind of continues after that. So can you talk about your life as a former ambassador, if that makes sense?
Yeah. It's great. And I'm going to go back and listen to that episode too, because I'm friends with Robin on Facebook, but we've never actually met. So that's another cool thing.
You like, have you, two things you, in common now. You have both been ambassadors and you've
people.
Both been on DL Weekly.
You know these people, but you don't really know them.
Yep.
But we're part of the you know, sisterhood, brotherhood, part of the family. Yeah. So my story was a little different, because my wife and I had been married for a couple of years when I got the ambassador gig. And because we knew it was going to be an extremely busy year, it was a 1 year term at that time, but knew it was going to be a very busy year. And so we had decided that after the year was over, that we would consider, you know, trying to start a family. That was, but we were not going to worry about it until after that year was up.
Good plan.
Smart.
One of my co-ambassadors, Rebecca, she and her husband were in the same boat, right? Like we're too busy. So mm-hmm. let's give everything we can. I've known ambassadors who have young kids. I mean, it's just hard to balance, right?
Because
I want to be able to give everything to this role, because only a year. That was our plan. So in 2006, when the ambassador gig was up, I moved on to a role, a project manager role back at the Magic Kingdom in operations. And my wife and I were lucky enough to welcome twins later that year. So we started with a bang, right? And
just
interestingly
right on
enough, Rebecca and her husband, they had their daughter at the end of the year as well. So we have kids about the same age.
Yeah.
Because that was our intent, was to start families after ambassador year. So mm-hmm. when our twins were about 6 months old, that's actually when we relocated to Iowa, and I left the Walt Disney Company, which was like tragic. It was so heartbreaking because that's all I had ever wanted. But at the same time, we had no family. It was just me and my wife and these babies. And we just felt like we needed additional support that we just didn't have in Florida. So that's when we relocated. So I will tell you that for the year and a half that I was there after my ambassador term ended, I certainly got called on to fill in at events when the other ambassadors were busy. The current ambassador team was, otherwise occupied. So they're like, hey, like, can you come to this retirement party? I'm like, cake, sign me up. I'm in. And certainly, you know, we would return when there were ceremonies for new ambassadors being named. And I was lucky enough to attend the ceremony this past September, where we saw our newest team, Shannon and Serena, were named, and I was able to be there. And that was just special to reunite with so many of former ambassadors. And so, yeah, I will tell you that from Robin's perspective, my guess, again, not having talked with her about it, but you certainly have the opportunity to fill in if you need to, but there's always that siblinghood. We actually did some panels together over Zoom during the pandemic.
Oh, yeah.
When, you know, a lot of cast members were furloughed or weren't able to work at that time. And especially some of us who have moved on to other things, like what does life outside of Disney look like? And I think there was certainly a common theme that is like, you never get rid of that. Like, it's always with you. It's always in your heart, and it's always a part of your training, and you're always going to point with two fingers, and you're always going to pick up Kleenex off the ground or whatever. Yeah. I mean, that's just a part of your DNA, and it sticks with you. So, you know, I've been gone for Disney for almost 17 years now, because my kids are all, the twins are 17 and a half years old. But even last week, I had the opportunity to share my story with a group of from my current company, where I've been for 17 years. And I'm still the Disney guy. Like, everybody wants to talk to me about Disney. Like, not a day goes by, literally not a day goes by where someone doesn't say, oh, like, I'm going on a Disney vacation, can you tell me this? Or I'm going to stay at this, I'm thinking about this resort or that one, what would you recommend? Or what's a new place for me to eat since the last time? So, I mean, I will always be the Disney guy. And I'm quick to say that my wife is a Disney cast member working here from home. She is a recruiter for Disney internships. So I'm married to a cast member now. And that's a lot of fun, because she has her own unique relationships, friendships. Many of the people that she works with are people that I worked with 20 years ago. So it's really funny how it's kind of come full circle. And she actually reports up through the person who interviewed me at UNC Charlotte in the fall of 1996. So it's really wild just how those connections, it's a very small world. We say that all the time. Like, the Disney world is truly a very small world.
But I mean, it's a small world, but it's a very big company. So the fact, you know, right? What I mean? That's very, very cool.
Yeah, we're very blessed. And I think the opportunity to be a part of all the activities that happen in Marceline, it's just a great way to continue to be a part of the Disney magic, but a totally different piece of it. Mm-hmm. And I never anticipated that there would be an opportunity to do anything with the museum. It's about a 3-hour drive from where I live, but it's close enough to get down there on the weekends when I need to or when I want to. And I'm really grateful that I can still be a part of the Disney legacy, if you will, in that capacity.
That was actually my next question, was then how did you become part of the Walt Disney? I mean, obviously you're close enough, so that helps. But how did you get involved with the Walt
Disney
Family
Museum?
You're closer than
we are. Mm-hmm.
It's so funny just how things happen. And I, you know, whether you call it fate or I don't know, destiny, whatever. But I was on a recruiting trip back in the day for the Disney College program. The recruiters would sometimes take business leaders who worked in the parks to go with them to be a trip partner and to conduct interviews. And so I was on a trip to the great state of Missouri. Missouri, I guess, is what we say, right? Missouri. The recruiter that I was with, someone, again, that my wife works with today, all these years later, we visited some schools, but we had some downtime while we were there for that week. And both of us were like, I wonder, like, are we near Marceline? Like, everybody's heard about, if you know anything about Disney, you know Marceline, but like, what's there and where are we? So we actually like mapped it out again back in the day before GPS and all that stuff. But we drove into town, and this was in 2002. So we're talking, you know, 22 years ago, and drove into town, walked into one of the establishments on Main Street. I don't even remember which one it was. And immediately the people recognized that we were not Marceline residents, right? Like, who are you? Because you're not one of us, right? And so we explained that, you know, that we were Disney cast members from Walt Disney World, that we were just passing through, that we were in Missouri visiting schools and recruiting students. And And one of them said, well, we need to call Kay. You need to meet Kay. And we're like, who is Kay? Like, we had no idea who Kay was.
Yeah.
And so they made a call and Kay came over and met us. And she took us over to the Walt Disney Hometown Museum, which was closed for the season at that time. It wasn't open, but she opened it up for us.
Oh, wow.
And again, we're like, who are you? Like, we don't know. And so she's telling us these stories about how Walt and Lillian and Roy and Edna, you know, came on the train to Marceline when she was a little girl, and they came and they stayed in her house, and everything she's saying, you're like, what is going on? Like, who is this lady? I mean, is this legit? What is she talking about? And so,
yeah, all right, she let Kay, us in the sure, Kay, weird random lady right, from Marceline.
We're like, who is Kay? And so, I mean, we were grateful for our visit. It was nice, but it was just kind of a little odd, right? Like, is this for real? And so, I don't remember exactly when it was, but at some point during my ambassador year, Kay was at Walt Disney World and did a presentation. And I was like, you probably don't remember me, but like, I came to town and you let us in the museum. And oh yeah, that was great. And so that just kind of like reconnected us at that time. And then we got to be really close friends. And then we relocated here to Iowa and we're a few hours away. And so one day we heard about this festival they were having and we drove down and we got reunited with Kay after years, and the rest is history.
That's awesome.
So,
you know, yeah. we have the same, not the same, similar interaction with Kay when we first got there. Cause she was the one that first checked us in the first time we visited Marceline, and she was super friendly.
Into the museum.
Yeah. Into the museum. Just super friendly. You know, do you need anything? Whatever. Just very hospitable. And we're going around the museum and all of a sudden I looked at Tag and I saw like there was a video play and I'm like, wait a minute. That's the lady who checked us in.
I'm like, really?
And so we just sat there and we're listening to her story on the video as she's standing in the room next door. And I'm like, it was just kind of like I don't know, like
it's Marceline, Teresa, there's only so many people who live there.
but you know, like it was just incredible, like that this just very kind, pleasant person that was just, you know, what was very helpful, has this amazing, very personal Disney story with Walt and Walt's family, and you know, that's just part of her, that was just part of her life. And it's just, and here we are like, okay, let's pick our chins up off the floor.
I was so lucky at D23 Expo, I guess 2 years ago now, a year and a half ago, to represent, to be a part of the team that represented the museum at the Expo. And my name's on the list to go again this year, so I'm really excited to be part of that event in August. And I just remember, you know, at one point, you know, Kay had introduced me to Walt's granddaughter. And again, these people are just so down to earth and unassuming, sweetest people. And so they, at that particular time, they had all the ambassadors, the global ambassador team was there. Mm-hmm. And so I was talking to some of the folks from France and I was like, hey, like, if you're interested, if you would like to meet Walt's granddaughter, like, she's at our booth, like right behind me. And they were like, you know, which one is she? And it was so funny because I it wasn't like she was trying to keep a low profile, but just nobody would have known who she was. I mean, totally, again, unassuming. And so she's like, how did these French people find out who I was? And I was like, oh, that was me. I'm sorry. But I just got excited, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
You know, this is good to have somebody else corroborate our story that we've said this on the podcast when we talked about Marceline, that like, they're just such nice, welcoming, sweet, amazing people.
Yeah.
And the fact that, like, you know, Kay opened up the museum for you to check out, and we got jokingly harassed by the sheriff, and like, you know, people there are just so genuine. It's, you know, it's kind of like when people talk about like the small town kind of, you know, like, borrow sugar from your neighbor kind of thing. Like, that's how they treat everybody there. Mm-hmm. And it's just,
it feels amazing. It feels like you're going back in time, right? Doesn't it? Like when you're there, you're like, is this really like 2024? Or like, what is this? You know,
but not in like
just a peacefulness thing.
Yeah.
Too.
But not even in like a, like they're like old timey, but just like that mentality of just like welcoming and open. And they're so not closed.
Small town America.
Yeah. And I always say, like, if people want to go to Marceline, like, just leave all your preconceptions at home, because it was so different than I expected it to be. And it was and better. We were, Teresa and I both were very surprised at how welcoming and amazing that place is. And so
I'm sure that I told you this when I first met you at the Marceline Pizza Company. Let's not forget. I'm hoping that they will see that I'm trying to like sponsor them, and they will give me cannoli.
There you go.
In return. But you know, I say this all the time. I'm like, if you are a true diehard Disney fan and you've never been to Marceline, then there's a piece of the puzzle that's missing, and you can't get that piece. You can't just fill in that puzzle by any, like, you have to go there. You have to be there. You have to stand in Kay's backyard at the barn.
Yeah.
And just, and really just know that that's where Walt spent those formative years, and where he and Roy and Ruth, I mean, it's where they grew up. And yeah, it's just, it's a really special place, and you can't replicate that. You can't get that anywhere else. You have to really go there to see it. And I'm so proud of the museum. I'm so proud of Kay and Sumner and the team that just worked tirelessly to keep that promise alive. That's what it is. It's the promise that Kay made to Walt's little sister, Ruth. And she's like, I want you to keep the Disney family story alive in Marceline. And so that's what we do. That's why the museum exists.
It's a really incredible museum. From the outside, you might not think there's, you know, it doesn't seem like it'd be that big, but holy cow. There's a lot in there. It's a treasure trove of all sorts, and it's all sorts of different things too. Things that I never would have thought, like the second floor that has that gentleman's little tiny models that he created. Like,
Let's talk about the room that had the TV in it that Walt had bought for
the TV.
Yeah.
Because we thought it was just like a thing, and then we read the little plaque, and Teresa's like, oh my goodness.
Like, that is the TV. And you know, when Kay was collecting everything that Ruth left behind after she died, she found the receipt for the TV, and she was curious about that. She thought that was like, oh my gosh, the receipt for the TV. And he's like, well, do you want the TV? Like, it's just right over there. Like, oh my God. Yeah. So the TV is like that is my favorite thing. So for those of you who don't know, are you okay if I share the story?
Yeah, of course.
So get this, because this is where I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, Walt Disney invites his family to the opening of Disneyland, and his little sister, Ruth, who lives in Portland, Oregon, says, I don't like crowds. No, thank you. Like, what? Seriously? Like, what?
Yeah.
Your brother, Walt Disney, invites you to the opening of Disneyland, and you're like, no, thank you. I don't like crowds. That gets me every time. Mm-hmm. But he says, never fear, Ruth, because it's going to be broadcast live on TV. Well, we don't have a TV. Well, I'll give you a TV. Yeah, and so that's the TV. And that's what we have in the Walt Disney Hometown Museum. And we show some clips of that opening day telecast with my dear friend, the late Art Linkletter. Mm. So I love that. It's such a cool piece of Disney trivia. And also the rendering of the Marceline project, which never came to fruition, but it was the one item in Walt's office that Roy took out of Walt's office before it was sealed up for years, before Dave Smith was hired as the first Disney archivist to come in and document everything. So the one piece the one missing piece from Walt's office it's the map or the drawing that Walt made of the Marceline project. And Roy gave it to the city of Marceline because he's like, it's for you, you know?
Yeah. Incredible. Absolutely incredible. It's such a special place, and we're very fortunate, like you, we're not too far of a drive. It's like 6 hours for us.
Yeah.
It's a little further than you, but still very doable.
There's a really nice all-you-can-eat sushi place between here and there, which we enjoy. So
where is that?
Well, you got to look it up.
It's in, what's the town?
I don't
know. We should know what the town is. Cedar Rapids?
Oh, you're in Iowa?
Mm-hmm. No, well, we're in Wisconsin.
Yeah,
we're on the border.
Right. So you're coming through.
Yeah, so we go.
Cedar Rapids is in Iowa, so if that's what you're talking about. Yeah.
I think so.
Interesting. I will also tell you, while you're looking that up, I will tell you, you know, the Walt Disney 100 exhibit is going to be in Kansas City opening this May. And so I am hopeful that if people have never been to Marceline, maybe they make that into like a weekend. Mm-hmm. Come to Kansas City, see the exhibit. Come to the Walt Disney Hometown Museum in Marceline. Like, what a cool Disney,
yeah,
like twofer, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, they did a great job because we literally, I don't know if you knew this, we literally, this last weekend, a couple days ago, we're in Chicago at the Disney 100 exhibit.
Oh, okay.
And afterwards, we haven't recorded our bonus about this yet, but we went to Walt's birthplace, like the birthplace home, which was like right near where this exhibit is. So it's kind of funny that they also are now having Kansas City and it's close to Marceline. So it's like, well, look at that.
We'll have
all the hot Walt spots.
Yes.
Right?
That's, you know, sometimes living in the Midwest, we feel like we're a little far from the magic, but we have some really special magic place. I mean, the birthplace of Walt Disney, Walt Disney's boyhood hometown of Marceline. Like,
yeah.
Very cool, very special.
Was there anything?
One thing I wanted to mention, what we were talking about, the people of Marceline. The gala. So we've been to Marceline twice now. Once just for the weekend. The second time was specifically to attend the gala. The Dreaming Tree Gala. Just like incredible presentations all day long. But
yeah. How about that?
Yeah. There was many pinch me moments in that. Just like I'm sitting next to this person and in front of that person. And it's like the who's who. And I'm like. At one point, I kind of looked at Teg like, I feel like we shouldn't even be in this room right now.
I feel that way, too. And I'm the one that's like introducing these people. I'm like, oh, my gosh. Like, yeah. I fanboy about all these people. So, yes, I feel just the exact same way. Yeah. And I think there are probably people who say, like, why would you feel that way? You're a Disney. I'm like, but I'm just as excited about it. I'm such a fan even of the ambassador. Yeah. Like, I get like. Nervous when I meet new ambassadors and I'm like, I've been one, but I'm still like such a fan. I'm a fan of the program. And so, yeah, I totally get it.
Yeah. And then the evening, one of the coolest parts, of course, all the Disney stuff and just the location, you're on the farm having dinner and you're
sacred
eating,
ground.
Yes. Yeah. And you're eating things that would, you know,
that
you're eating
apple
like Walt.
Pie.
Yeah. Teg has not stopped talking about the apple pie.
Now see, I heard again, I was listening to that episode and the cheese. I don't remember that. Like I must've had a different dessert or I must've, you know what? I was probably getting ready to do the interview with Floyd. So I probably was like, I can't eat anything cause I'm going to get sick.
But the apple pie was so good.
It was very good. But
Marceline is a town of great pies. I will tell you that. Like we've been there. They've had like pie like auctions and stuff. Like, yeah, those people know their pies.
But I thought it was just so neat that there was so many like locals that were there and excited and volunteering to like help make that event possible. So it's not because sometimes I wonder, you know, you grew up with this. It was normal for you to go to Walt Disney Elementary, whereas we go there as tourists and we're like peeking in the windows to look at the paintings on the wall. They probably think we're nuts because it's just part of their life. So I thought it was very cool how the town, even if they're maybe not big Disney fans themselves, they still embrace the history and still want to be a part of it.
I think that they understand the importance of Disney, to your point, even if they're not fans, many of them are.
Yeah.
But even if they're not, they're a community and they pull together and they love Kay and her mom Inez. They love them and they will do whatever they ask them to do. And so I have to ask you, did you happen to use the restrooms at the gala?
Yes.
Do you remember anything about the restrooms at the gala?
I didn't. You did though.
I did. I was just too like amazed that they were way fancier than I was expecting them to be from the outside.
They're like the fanciest porta potties you've ever seen. They have like art hanging on the walls in there for crying out loud. Like it's a
wasn't
thing.
It like a truck?
Yeah, it just looked like a like a trailer that they like parked and there's a little staircase up. They were like I wanted to take
fancy.
Photos, but obviously I wasn't gonna take photos because it was just so surprising.
Can we just talk about the whole thing? Like I have never seen somebody's backyard look as swanky as this gala. There was a door with a bouncer.
Yeah.
There was like couches. Like I was like, what is going on here? This is like a field.
There's so many creative people there who just have great ideas. And then they have great people who are willing to like bring it to life. Yes. So I continue to be impressed because I'll hear Kay talk about these things conceptually. I'm like, okay, whatever you say. And then I see it. I'm like, that's really cool. Like you guys did a great job. So very impressive.
Incredible.
I'm so glad you guys were able to be there. Cause again, like, so there have been so many times where I've gone to events and have known things, but then I get there and it's like, oh, this is way cooler than I thought it was going to be. And I just love that, again, that people just lay their egos down. Not that they had egos anyway, but like, mm-hmm. it's just a different, it's a different vibe when you're in Marceline, and you just have such access to people.
Well, and Teresa and I've said this a long time. Teresa mostly says this, but like, I agree with her, which is, you know, we've gone to Disneyana events. We've gone to things in Marceline now, and you know, people spend all this time and effort and money and standing in line and all this stuff for D23. It's like, you could like literally sit at the same table with these people if you just go to these like smaller events that people seem to not like. Disneyana.
Right.
Like,
don't give away all the secrets.
Bob Gurr was just hanging out.
Yeah.
But
then everybody's going to come, and then it's not going to be. We couldn't believe
we decided for the Marceline thing that we bought the VIP package, which had all of the like, all the like panel things mm-hmm. during the day. And it was like us and like 20 other people and the people. Yeah. And it was like, what?
And it was so chill. Yeah.
Teresa about died because Floyd Norman came and sat behind her. And Tanya McKnight Norris was like, can I sit next to you? Teresa was like, I am going to die. I'm surrounded by Disney people. So it was just really funny.
In the best way.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
She's like, am I in heaven? Did we die on the way here? Like, I'm not sure what happened.
It was super fun. But it is interesting. And I don't know. And
Teresa D23, said this too about like vloggers and stuff. Yeah, she's like, where's all the other people?
Yeah. D23 is incredible. Like, it's an awesome, incredible fan event. And, you know, but I don't think people, realize that the same people that go to D23 do other events as well.
And we've had D23 events in Marceline.
Yeah.
You know, we had our last one was last May or June. I don't remember. And they're going to, my understanding is they want to do those every other year as well.
Yeah.
So we're kind of on the off years from Expo or Makes fan sense. Event, whatever it's called this time around. So, yeah.
Makes sense. But yeah, it's just, and which is great because, you know, D23 has such a following and people, you know, reputation of having all the cool stuff. So that's amazing that they're going, you know, that they do events like that to bring people out to Marceline, just to, you know, get people out there. And it's hard because Marceline is kind of in the middle of not really nowhere, but in a way it is.
It's pretty middle of nowhere.
If you're traveling, you know, it's definitely the destination. It's not like, oh, we'll just do it on the way to this or to that.
Well, and there's
that.
Not like a Sheraton down the street that you can stay in or anything. It's
so it can be a little
effort.
It can be a little maybe intimidating for people to travel on their own.
I agree.
So I think it's great to have these group trips. So then you can go with like-minded Disney people. So maybe your family's like, why do we want to go there? You can still do it.
Mm-hmm.
I love it.
Well, thanks for being so supportive of Marceline and the community and the Walt Disney Hometown Museum. We really appreciate that because I think a lot of people don't really know that it's there. Mm-hmm. It was first established to be a weekend to celebrate Walt's 100th birthday back in 2001. That's what it was established for, was a weekend celebration. And the fact that it's still going strong, you know, all these years later, 23 years later, and that it's grown and just become a thing is awesome. And the community has made that happen. The folks who contribute, the sponsors and just some really wonderfully generous people who care about the legacy and the community. That they've made it happen. So kudos to all of them. And thank you for being so kind and supportive and sharing with your listeners. And let's make more people come to Marceline.
Definitely.
Absolutely. Well, was there anything else that you would like to talk about or thought you would talk about, but we didn't get to or didn't talk about that you would like to?
Gosh, it feels like we've covered so much.
We did.
Here's what I want to say. I just want to say thank you. I remember that the day that I got selected as an ambassador and I found myself in this room talking about grilled cheese and all that kind of stuff, but truly to be there and to feel like I'd found my people, I'd found my tribe, and growing up kind of feeling like I was so weird because I liked Disney and that certainly wasn't like what most people were into, especially not guys. That just felt really weird. I mean, I remember like I would go see the animated movies, but I wouldn't tell anybody, you know, like, I'm not going to tell everybody that I went to see The Little Mermaid this weekend, but like, it was amazing.
Yeah. right.
And just being able to be around people where it's just okay to like say that you love that and enjoy it and appreciate it. And so the more people that I continue to meet within this sphere, like you're my people. And so just the opportunity to connect with you and hopefully to connect, you know, with your listeners, with your audience. It's just a really cool opportunity and I don't take it for granted at all. I'm just so, so grateful. So thank you for letting me be a part of this.
Well, thanks for being a part of it, because this, you know, it's a two-way street, right? Like, you come on, you tell your stories, it gets us some cool stuff, but then, like, you know, we get to hear all your stories, which is kind of a treat for us, and our audience gets to hear those things. And, you know, over time, you know, you talked earlier about, like, Dave Smith, and as people involved with the company who have memories of different things, you know, get older, they move on, or they, you know, unfortunately pass away, like, those stories go with them, so... It's kind of been important to us when we do these interviews to kind of document some of that a little bit
and share stories.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a beautiful thing that you're doing. And I think just the technology and the way that we can share stories, like it just brings people together in ways that would not have been possible 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago. Yeah. So again, I'm grateful and I don't know, my heart's full, I guess.
I'm
so
happy.
That's a gift
that
you've given me.
I'm so happy that we got to meet you on Main Street in Marceline. That's just, come on. Like, how cool.
Thank you. Yeah, it's, you know, I'd never assume that anyone knows who I am. But, you know, when you're in Marceline, it's a pretty good chance if you see somebody you don't recognize, they're there because of something Disney.
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah.
Or they're wearing something Disney or whatever. So you're like, are you Disney people? Because if you are, then you're my people.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Let's get connected and let's get to know you. So
all right, well, that. Here's the big question. You've already worked for the parks, obviously, but let's dream some big dreams here. If you could work at Disneyland, what would you do?
Yeah.
Sky's the limit. You can include any job, even something you make up.
You know, it's a big question. Because I'm not, you know, like I said, most of my work was in merchandise. I worked in entertainment for a while as well. We didn't even talk about that. But see, there's so many stories. But I really would love to have any kind of job that gives me, you know, a lot of interface with the guests. Like, that's what I love. I love talking to the guests. And I love, you know, again, working at the Emporium, I talk to hundreds, if not thousands of people every single day. And I traded pins so many times. I mean, like, and those interactions were just so special. You know, I don't think I'd necessarily want to be in guest relations because they deal with a lot of, like, problem solving. That's not my, I just want people to be happy. So I don't know if
you're going to be an official magic maker.
There you go. You know, here's the thing. When I was there, there were a group of entertainers, the citizens of Main Street. And there was a man there who played the role of the mayor, and his real life name was Chris Weaver, but he was Mayor Weaver, and he has since passed away, but he was really just kind, generous man. And having worked on Main Street, I talked to these people backstage as real people and on stage as these characters, these wacky citizens of Main Street. I talked to them every day, like they were just a part of the family. And so maybe being the new mayor of Main Street USA and just walking around talking to people, and that would be cool.
You know, like, you're probably going to, Teresa actually is probably going to be like, what do you mean by that? That's such a weird comment. But you have, like, I could see you as the mayor of Main Street. Like, you have that look. Like, I can imagine you like in a, like in a, like in a suit,
a sash.
Like a top hat,
a sash,
like a top hat, maybe like a little walking stick or something.
I'd love that. Like a little pocket watch.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah.
Sign me up.
I see it.
Sign me up.
I think you'd be perfect because you're very approachable. You're very kind. You're very friendly. I think
now the problem is he'd have to move back to Florida, which I don't think is something
I mean, twist
California.
My arm, right? Give me the job.
maybe we need
it's
to
like
start.
If I can hang out in the parks all day.
Maybe we need to start a crowd, not crowdfunding, but like a petition to make Christopher the mayor of Main Street.
We will have an empty nest at some point, and then we can do whatever we want, right?
Like,
I mean, that's the freedom will come back around at some point. But and I've always said that I'm like, it would be great to work there, even after retirement. Like, that would be a super fun thing to do. I love talking to people. I love stories and I love hearing people's stories. And, you know, when you work at Disney, you hear a lot of stories.
Yeah. Yeah.
Regardless of where you work. And I love that. I'd love to celebrate that.
James does not want to live in a big city.
And I don't necessarily want to live in Florida for sure, because just the humidity and stuff. Nothing about like the actual state, just like the weather and stuff, just sure. Not for me. But
I don't know how we ever lived there. When we go back there now, I'm like, oh my God, how did we? I mean, every picture during my ambassador, every picture, I'm like sweating profusely. Like, yeah. I'm shiny all over. Yeah. Like, it's terrible. But yeah, that's just what you did.
But mm-hmm. He agreed that, like, in our retirement, for a year, we can move to Anaheim, and I can get the working at Disney bug out of my system, and then we're good.
There you go.
My father-in-law is the one person in our like tight circle of family here who has not worked. My wife's mother worked at the camera shop on Main Street at Magic Kingdom in its first year in 1970. I think in 1972 was actually like the summer of 1972. So it hadn't been open a full year. And she worked at the camera shop. And my wife, when she interviewed for the college program, told her, oh, my mom worked on Main Street. So they put her in at the Emporium. That's where we met. So, and then my wife's two brothers also worked for Disney. So like there's some bucket list things we got to get done here. So I totally get that, Dave. Totally get it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Because I figure at this point, like, I'm in the Midwest. There's no way, like, I'm doing it. Like, I don't know. Part of it, too, is I've also said I'm never moving back to California. But I would to work at Disneyland for that year. But anyway, Christopher, thank you so much for coming on. I'm sure that our listeners are going to love listening to all of your stories and your history and your experiences. Is there any, do you have any presence online if people want to, like, follow you and see what you're up to?
I'm on Instagram. I'm private on Instagram, but if you reach out and send a note and say you met me through the Disneyland, like, I'm happy to accept you. And I still post a lot of Disney memories out there, and certainly post a lot of things about Marceline. And yeah, so my life is certainly not just Disney, but happy to have people follow along. Christopher C. White 625. So yeah, we can get that tagged into your stuff
and go.
I'm happy
to Marceline, and maybe you'll see Christopher there.
Go to Marceline. Tell me you're going to be there. I'll meet you down there at the pizza company. And then we'll go across the street to the museum. And yeah.
You just got to buy him a cannoli, apparently.
Yeah.
That's all you have to. Well, I saw, like, you guys have a thing where people can sponsor, like, churros for you, right? Yep. Like, that's pretty cool. Yeah.
You need the buy me a cannoli button.
That's right. I don't need any cannoli. That's the problem. I like them way too much. So
they were fantastic.
You guys, it's been a joy. It's been a pleasure. So thank you so much. It's super fun.
It's okay. I'll be the only weekly tier without an answer. Make sure you send your questions to Producer James or Producer Vern at trivia@doweekly.net.
Welcome back to Trivia Land, where we're going to find out the answers to tonight's questions. How are we feeling? Do you think you got a lot of them right, or what do we think?
I mean, you know, numbers. I feel better than normal.
Okay.
Better than normal. We'll see.
It was a numbers heavy night, and those can be rough ones. So let's see how it went. Your first listener submitted question from listener Heather G. How many bathrooms are there in Disneyland parks? You answered 28 between Disneyland and Disney California Adventure, and 2 in the Esplanade and the Disneyland Resort area. The answer that I was looking for, found through DisneyParks.go, 20 in Disneyland, 13 in Disney California Adventure, and 18 in Disneyland Resort, for a total of 51.
Hmm.
So just to clarify for the listeners, you were including bathrooms in the hotel.
Yeah, because that's counted on the website as like the park area, the resort area. Yeah.
Yep.
So we didn't even go there.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's okay. I didn't realize there were so many freaking restrooms.
Oh, once you get to the hotels?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, there's literally one in every room. No, I'm just kidding.
Your second listener submitted question from listener Chrissy A. How many parking spots are in the Mickey and Friends parking structure? Tag said 10,000. Teresa said 8,000. The correct answer that I was looking for was 10,281.
Ooh. 81.
Well done, Tag.
Yeah.
Full or half?
I'm giving full credit for being that close. Yeah.
I knew it was something crazy like that.
Yeah. And your third listener submitted question tonight from listener Ethan K. How many attractions were featured on opening day at Disneyland? A little bit tricky there, saying featured on opening day, not necessarily rideable. You answered 16 from Tag and 13 from Teresa. The correct answer that we were looking for was 18 attractions featured on opening day at Disneyland.
I knew it was in the teens.
Yep. 13 of which are still rideable to this day, which might be where that 13 number came from.
Still cool.
Very cool. And your fourth and final regular round question from listener Jill M. How many replica skulls are on the Indiana Jones adventure?
A lot.
Teresa said 250, or a lot. And Tag said 1,995.
That actually is a lot.
That's also a lot, yes. The correct answer that we were looking for, a reference to the year that the ride opened, the correct answer is 1,995.
Good job.
Good job, Tag. That's right. Well, that's all right, because I didn't do very well on the bonus question.
And your bonus question tonight from listener MEP. Tell us all of the story of the little man of Disneyland. And Teresa was able to tell the story that Patrick lived in the Orange Grove and he gave permission for Disneyland to be built there as long as he could choose where his home would be and live there after the completion of Disneyland being built.
Well, that was a fuller story than I told you. I just said that they asked for permission.
I knew you knew the story.
Oh, okay.
Not terrible.
How do you think they did? How did you do listening at home? Do you think you've got the perfect question that you'd really like to hear on the air sometime? Feel free to send that in to us at trivia@dlweekly.net.
Well, we will be back next week with more Disneyland news and information.
Until then, go out and enjoy the parks.
And a special thank you to Sidell for editing the podcast.
Please remain seated until the podcast comes to a complete stop and the doors have opened. Then collect your belongings, watch your head, and step carefully from the episode. On behalf of all of our crew, thanks for traveling with us. And we hope you have a happy and memorable visit here at DL Weekly.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.